Thank you, Jesus. There is a little praise song that has been in my spirit all week long. I will admit to you, I am not a psalmist, but I invite you, because I think you know it, to sing along with me. How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great, how great is our God.
For indulging me in the song that was touching my heart all week long. And I just thank the psalmist for creating words that touch us and minister right to our very needs. I thank the church for lifting up folks who just want to do God's will and walk in God's way. I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad to be here today. Because had it not been for God's grace, I wonder where would I be? And I am grateful for an opportunity to give his name praise, to thank him, to lift him up, to magnify his name, to glorify him. I am grateful today. And I am grateful for each one of you as well, for your testimony and your witness, for your faithfulness in worship and celebrating him, oh God. Worship is power. Worship heals. Worship breaks the chains of the enemy. Amen. 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 You may rest in your seat. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. We are rejoicing. We are rejoicing. And I am glad in it. We thank God for our pastor in his absence, for his kind generosity, for opening up his pulpit. Not many pastors are willing to open up the pulpit to women, we know. And we are grateful and thankful for the way he is open to what God is doing in his life. Amen. I thank you for these leaders, these strong men and women of God who carry out the work of this great church and who's such a great support of this community and of this entire church body. We can't do the ministry alone, amen? Amen. God uses our hands to reach out and to touch and to provide what he needs for his people. So I thank you for this ministry of this church. There is a word from on high. God always provides a word for his people, amen? And if we listen carefully, there's a word for each one of us, amen? There is something God is trying to say. There are things that God is trying to do in our midst. And sometimes we need to quiet ourselves and hear. Sometimes we don't need to be as busy about the work, but more about the hovering presence of God and hearing and receiving what God would have to say to us today. And so if you're praying with me, I believe there's a word from on high. Let's just lift up a quick word of prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word, O God, your word that brings healing, that brings knowledge, that brings transformation, O God, a word that prepares us for the work you would have us to do, O God, that transforms us into the people you would have us to be, O God. God, I thank you for this house of Zion, O God. I thank you for the worship thus far, for the prayers that have been lifted up and the songs that have been sung. I believe that they have created fertile ground, O God, for your word to be heard. Now, God, hide me behind your cross. Cover me in your blood, O God. Let them not see this feeble human existence that I am, but the power of God that is in me, God. Use me as a mighty vessel, O God, to share what you would say to your people. And in the end, we will be so careful as to say God did it. In the end, as hearts are mended, as minds are strengthened, O God, as folks come to know you in the saving grace that you provide, God, we'll be careful to say that Jesus did it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me, my household and a little bit of me, we're all struggling with some little bug that is trying to get us down, but I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. My husband is home with my kids. He's coughing. I just said, keep that over there somewhere. And I said, Lord, don't let this cough get me at least until 12 o'clock today. Give me enough time to share what you have placed on my heart today. I'm going to begin our time with reading our scripture. And in honor of Women's History Month, the Lord has placed it on my heart to lift up a word from Esther. And there are only two books in the Bible that are named after women. And however, we know that women have been throughout the ministry of God, and God has used them in various ways, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament. God uses everybody and anybody. But as the women's ministry, as all over the world we celebrate what God is doing in women, God led it and placed it on my heart to lift up this scripture today. And what we also know about the book of Esther, it is considered to be the, now I found this odd to have it in the Bible and for them to consider it a godless Bible.
And what they mean by that is, of the two books of the Bible, Esther and the Song of Solomon, there's no actual direct mention of Yahweh, God. However, what we know about our God is you ain't got to mention him. He's still here, and he is still present, and he's still doing wonderful things in our midst. And so even in this text, we will see they may not mention him, but he's still there. Amen? And we will see how it transforms in the life of Esther. I invite you to join me in reading Esther. We're going to begin with chapter 2. Now, Esther is found right after Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's hard for me to find these books of the Bible. When I was younger, we had to memorize them in order, but now I have them on my phone, and I just press the word, and it just jumps right up at me. But I brought out my paper Bible today. Excuse me. Esther, chapter 2. When you have it, say praise him.
Praise him.
Amen. After these things, when the anger of King Artaxerxes had abated, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king, and let the king appoint commissioners in all the provinces of his kingdom, to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in the citadel of Susa, under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. Let their cosmetic treatments be given them, and let the girl who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." Now this pleased the king, and he did so. Now there was a Jew in the citadel of Susa whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Simeel, son of Kish, a Benjaminite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives carried away with King Jehoiakim of Judah, who Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had carried away. Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his cousin, for she had neither father nor mother. The girl was fair and beautiful, and when her father and her mother died, Mordecai adopted her as his own daughter. So when the king's order and edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in the citadel of Susa in the custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in the custody of Haggai, who had charge over the women. The girl, speaking of Esther, pleased him and won his favor. And he quickly provided her with cosmetic treatments and her portion of food and with 7 chosen maidens from the king's palace and advanced her and her maidens to the best place in the harem. Esther did not reveal her people or kindred, for Mordecai had charged her not to tell. Every day Mordecai would walk around in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and how she fared. And here's the focus of our text today. The turn came for each girl to go into King Artaxerxes after being 12 months under the regulations for women, since this was the regular period of their cosmetic treatment, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and cosmetics for women. Thanks be to God for his holy word.
I would like to share from you the topic, Preparation Precedes Elevation. Preparation precedes elevation. As I was preparing for the message, I reflected back on the move of God in my own life. And I stopped to wonder, I said, did I ever think I would be where I am today? And yet, in retrospect, as I look back over every step, every twist, and every turn, every challenge, every difficulty, every praise opportunity, what I see is God preparing me for today. I think about when I was just, I probably was 5 or 6 years old, and I remember we used to spend weeks at a time at my grandmother's house. And when I was young, my grandmother was, she had suffered a stroke, and she was bedridden. And I felt it my duty at that time. I says, Grandma, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the Bible to you through and through, and I'm going to read it from Genesis, and I'm not going to stop until I get to Revelations, and I'm going to make it through for these 2 weeks that we're here. Needless to say, we didn't quite make it through in those 2 weeks. But there was a press on my heart to share the Word of God even at that young age. And yes, like many of us, I grew up in the church, and I went to Sunday school. And I remember another time in my life. I remember I was in, I was in second grade. And my mother loves to tell this story. And I remember I was going to Mrs. Wilson's class. That was my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Wilson. And the kids were in the class, and we were waiting for Mrs. Wilson, and we had our Sunday school primers out, and Mrs. Wilson wasn't quite there yet. And so I took it upon myself, well, since she's not here, and I have a captive audience, and I believe that just a couple of days ago, I had received a tract. You remember those tracts that you used to hand out to share the Word of God? And I remember it was the tract, This Is My Life. And I said, well, she's not here, but the people are here. And if the people are here, then the word needs to be shared. Amen? And in that moment, I shared about This Is My Life. And I read through that comic track, and I shared with my fellow second graders what Thus Says the Lord. And I thought nothing of it. I was just filling the time until she got there. I didn't realize that of the significance until she showed up at my mother's door that afternoon to share what I had done. And not in correction, but what she said to my mother is, God has his hand on that one. And wanted to share something good that God was doing in the life of her child. And, you know, there are numerous of things that I can see throughout my life. I think about my husband, and I can just talk about him so much now because he's not here. And prior to us getting married, I had a very serious boyfriend. We all had boyfriends and heartbroken and all sorts of things. And I just knew this one guy, he was my husband, and I was patiently waiting, and I knew what God was doing. It was him, and it was me, and that was it. And that was before I had met my husband. And even when I met him, I knew him, and I was like, oh, yeah, hi, how are you doing, whatever. I had met his girlfriend. I said, oh, nice girl and everything, not knowing that even in that, God was preparing us for each other. And now when I look back and I see how my life has been touched, I realize there's only one man for me, and God had him picked all along. I didn't meet him until I was 25, 28 years old, but God was preparing me. And sometimes we see where we think we should be, and we wonder why we aren't there. And we say, oh, but I've done all this. Why haven't I got this? I think about people in their jobs and you know, they've worked hard and then they see someone just advance right over top of them. And they say, what is going on? And God's still working in the midst of that. God still has something to say, and he's even doing something in the midst of that. And so God is always preparing us. God is always using things in our lives to do in us what is necessary to get us to the next level. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. That doesn't bring glory to him. Once we get here, we've accomplished what we needed to do. It's time to move on to the next level. And as we are entering in this time of preparation, this Lenten season, and as we are preparing our hearts for that celebration of God's glorious resurrection on the cross, I want to appeal to you to be sensitive to God's preparation in your life. You know, oftentimes we use this time to give up sweets or give up meat or do some sacrificial demonstration of God moving. But I want to encourage you to be open and allow this time for God to speak to you as God's preparing you for the next level. Amen?
Amen.
Preparation precedes elevation. Now, many of you may know the story of Queen Esther. Queen Esther was a Jew. She was living in what they called the Jewish diaspora. And she was living in Persia at the time. And the Jews had been taken away from God's city of Jerusalem. And yet there are numerous prophets that talk about God still being with them even wherever they're at, because they had a fear that if they weren't in God's city, that God had abandoned them. If they weren't in Jerusalem where the temple was, that God somehow wasn't in their midst. But what we know through the testimonies of many of our prophets is God is wherever the people of God are. Amen? And God is using even their challenges to bring glory to his name. And so we see in this chapter that, well, preceding the chapter, Queen Vashti, she was summoned to the king and she said, I ain't going. I ain't going. And the king was left with a little bit of egg on his face and not figuring out what he should do. And so he removes her from her position. And not thinking it through, he removed her from her position, but didn't put anyone in her place as well. And so he felt a little sorry. He's like, what am I going to do? And so he was instructed to search throughout your kingdom. And he had a vast kingdom. And to find someone to replace the queen. Now, this was all very interesting. The whole process I found to be very interesting, because it wasn't like he was looking for mature women. He was looking for young girls. And commentary suggests it was thousands that were sought. And as we understand, Vashti was very beautiful, so whomever they got had to be doubly beautiful as Vashti. And so all over the province, all over his kingdom, they looked and they sought for girls to bring forth to prepare to be the queen. Now, you just didn't come up and say, I want to be queen. It wasn't like Cinderella. You dance with the king and then all of a sudden he falls in love with you. But it was an interesting way they did it. They prepared for 12 months for one night with the king. And if so choosing, he decided that he chose one, then they became queen. But if after after that one night, he was not interested. You were just shipped off to another harem to just stay there unless the king called you again. 12 months for one night. They spent 12 months in preparation for one night. No guarantee that they would be queen. And they didn't even have a choice whether or not they were going to go. 12 months for one night. And as I said, in this time of preparation, that scripture just kind of stuck out at me and said, wow, that's a lot of time of preparation. What did they do for 12 months? Why was it so important that God specifically had it in the scripture to say? He could have said for a long time. He could have said for a season. But we know for 12 months, for one night. And what in the time that remains to be ours, what I'd like to do, we all go through seasons of preparation. God is always preparing us for something else. He's always trying to get us to the next level. But sometimes we are not as present as we should be in the time of preparation. Sometimes we say, oh, if we can just get through this so I can get there, just God, just get me to where I need to be. But church, I want to tell you, we need not rush through with what God is doing in our midst. Amen. We need not try to push our way through, but we need to be aware of how God is using our lives and using the people in our lives to bring us up a little higher, amen? To bring us up to the next level. And so what I'd like to do in the time that remains is just kind of do an anatomy of preparation. I want to kind of break it up and to see, figure out, well, what is all involved? Yes, when we think about people who go to school, who prepare for ministry, we know that they study scripture. We know that they spend years in sermon prep and in school. But even preparation beyond that point, I believe that it's about preparing our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits to be ready, not just our heads, not just giving us knowledge, but how is God preparing us for the next level? I appeal to you three quick points about what I learned about the anatomy of preparation. And the first thing is preparation takes time. Preparation takes time. You don't just get there. But there is a process. And you know what? If you try to skip a step, God will pull you back and say, you missed step three. You got to do it over again. There is no going around the bend with God. Because each step is important to what he needs to do in you to get you to where he's trying to take you to. Amen? And so preparation takes time. And the second thing I want to look at that 12-month period and how they divided up that 12-month period. You got 6 months of oil and myrrh. You got 6 months of perfume and fragrance. And I believe that 6 months of oil and myrrh was 6 months of purification. Preparation purifies us. And that 6 months of fragrance is 6 months of refining. So let's take a moment and walk through the text a little bit. So we know that they had 12 months, a long time, a season. A season is a period of time with no necessarily defined end. I know for sure with this season of snow, I surely wish it would end, but they're telling us we're going to get some more. But the season has its time period. And you know, we can't rush what God is doing. You know, I have girlfriends at work. I have girlfriends all over where, you know, my single girlfriends, they say, Daniela, pray for me. Pray for me that God's got my husband. Pray for me that God will send my husband here. Pray for me. And, you know, we are so preoccupied about getting to that point. And maybe God is working in you to get you ready for that husband to come. It's not just the fact of bringing a body here, but is your heart right to connect with someone else and to share in a life? Is your heart willing to be submissive to another person? Are you willing to commit against all odds? God may need to be working out something in you. You may still be holding on to past hurts from past relationships. You don't need to bring that up into a new relationship. And so it takes time to work some of those things out. We can't rush to get to the end. I think about our President Barack Obama. I've read his various his memoirs, and I think about all of the things his mom did in his life to prepare him to be where he's supposed to be, how she spared no expense for education, and how he was committed to outreach and all these things. He didn't just walk up in the White House and say, "Show me where the Oval Office is." But there was a season of preparation that got him ready for the task ahead. Amen. I think about that with Martin Luther King as well. Yes, he was called to preach. Yes, he was a mighty preacher. But I'm sure if someone would have told him at a young age, "You will be the leader of the civil rights movement," he said, not me. But God was using each step, and God used the time period to prepare him for service. And God's doing the same thing in us. Sometimes it seems as though it's taking us a long time. But God is using every twist, every minute, every hour, every second, every day, every person, every experience to slowly get us ready for the next step. Amen? Amen. And so now let's just take a pause and just deal with that year. Let's take a moment and just deal with, let's start with that first 6 months. It was interesting as I was preparing for this sermon. This wasn't the text that I was preaching on, and God kept bringing me back here, and every commentary I went to, they wasn't saying much of anything, and they didn't give me much of anything. And then I said, Lord, maybe I need to just take a moment and take apart each section to see what is said beyond the words. And so as I looked at how they broke up that year, so these women, as I said, prepared for 6 months for one night. And they were brought together. And some of the other things that are said, they were given food and all of these things that would prepare them or get them ready for this, their one big debut. And so as I looked at the text, and they said, 6 months of oil and myrrh. Now, I know in Scripture we see that myrrh was presented to Jesus as a baby. And as I was reading a little bit closer, they said this is part of preparation that women would do. This is part of their cosmetic treatment. And then I looked a little closer at the significance of what oil of myrrh does. Now, what I learned is oil of myrrh is used as a cleansing. It's used as an antiseptic. And so if there's some type of disease, the oil of myrrh would cleanse and will make right the diseased part of your body. It was used for medicinal purposes. Sometimes we need to be purified. Sometimes there are things in our lives, bitterness that's grabbed whole root, that has just diseased our mind, diseased our spirit, and we need the cleansing oil of myrrh to cleanse us so that we may be right for God. Can I get a witness from anyone? Sometimes in our lives, there are things buried deep down that we don't even know, that we don't even see. Experience in our lives that have tainted us and have caused us to see things in a totally wrong way. But we need God's oil. We need that. And so these women that were brought to the king, they didn't know where they came from. They didn't know what they were bringing with them. And so they had to make sure they weren't bringing any diseases in to the king. And so they had to bathe for 6 months in oil of myrrh. They had to be purified. They had to be made right. They had to be made whole. Amen. And I saw another commentator indicate, he says, you know, the word of God is like oil of myrrh. You know, the more that we spend time in God's word, the more we read it, the more we meditate on it, the more we let it get in our spirit, the more it starts to say, can't be doing it like this anymore. And it kind of helps us, I shouldn't be thinking like that anymore. And it convicts us, and it convicts our heart. And before you know it, we're not how we used to be. We don't think how we used to think. And all of a sudden, we've been transformed by his word. Amen. Have you ever experienced the transforming power of God's word? Has it ever occurred to you ever that God's word has just changed the way you thought, changed the way you acted, changed how you did, changed who you were? We need the oil of myrrh. They had the oil of myrrh, and when that 6 month period was through and they believed that they were cleansed of all disease and all unrighteousness, they went on to the next 6 months of preparation. And this one was really difficult to find. And I looked and I said, well, what is the significance of fragrance other than to cover up? What is the significance of these treatments other than to mask? But what I realized when they were talking about these oils, I don't know if you've ever been to get a massage. And when you go to get a massage, they don't just rub on you and say, psh, send you on your way. But they put these oils in their hands, and they rub, and they rub it into your skin, and they rub. And before you know it, once you leave, your skin feels as if it was like new, amen? They rub it so much that you say, oh, I'm shining. Oh, my skin's so soft and new. And the oils that I believe that they're talking about here is similar oils. It's a refining oil. It's sometimes when you rub and when you rub and when you rub and when you're smoothing out the rough edges. And so after you have been purified, after you have been cleansed, God's not through yet. Sometimes he's got to smooth out our rough edges. Sometimes he's got to get our smooth and polish us and getting looking brand new. One commentary says it's kind of like character formation. That refining oil is like character building. And when these women came in, they were made clean, but then they had to be made to look like queens. They had to be polished. They had to be made to look royal. And so all of us is in one stage or another of preparation. God may be using the oil of myrrh to cleanse us. God may be using fragrances to refine us, to polish us, to smooth us out for that next level. And I just want to encourage you to embrace this time of preparation, saints. Don't rush through it. Don't want it to be over, but allow each step to have its perfect work. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, yes, preparation is good. Yes, it's great to be open and to allow God to do these things. But one thing that was alluded to in the text that supersedes all of this, and that's the favor of God. Amen. Esther had the favor of God, and when we allow the word to prepare us, and when we are open to allowing God to do whatever he needs to do, and then his favor rests upon us, and his favor, when we're open like that, we're really able to be used. And then his favor will take us to the next level. In the text, it says she won favor of the eunuch, and later she wins favor of the king. And because of God's favor, we are able to go to the next level. Be encouraged today, saints. Allow God to prepare you for that next level. Allow God to mold you and to make you and to mend you and to break you even, so that his favor may be made complete in you, and you too, like Esther, may be risen to the next level. How many want to go to the next level in God today? How many want to be open up to what God does today? How many know that God's favor is what changes, it what rearranges, and is what gets the victory today? I thank you right now today. I encourage you to stand to your feet with me today. Preparation, saints, precedes elevation. Preparation exceeds elevation. The doors of the church are open today. God stands waiting as the deacons and the ministers go forth. Tomorrow is not promised. Come now. Allow God to use you, to bless you, to take you to that next level.
Lord, prepare me
to be a sanctuary.
To be a sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
Tried and true.
The Lord is calling, the Lord is near.
With thanksgiving.
Step out and give your hand so that God can take your heart.
Sanctuary, Lord, for you.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
To be a sanctuary.
Let God touch you and use you. Yes.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
Come now.
Tried and true.
He is waiting eagerly, eagerly.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Lord, for you.
Lord,
yes. One more time. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare
yes,
me to be a sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
Try
come now, come now.
Try and true.
Yes, God is
with
waiting.
Thanksgiving.
God is waiting.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living.
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Lord, for you.
Lord, for you.
We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your people, God. We pray now for the hearts of believers out there. We thank you that you have saved us, you prepare us, and you use us. God, if there's anyone out there under the sound of my voice who knows they should come forward, we just pray that your spirit will touch them. And if not in this moment, oh God, we pray that you will give the unction of their heart to go to one of these deacons, deaconess, or clergy and share and ask, what must I do to be saved? We thank you for this house of Zion. We thank you for the word of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, may return to your seats. God is good, saints.
Yes, he is.